Well, I'll tell you what, this year is coming to a close fast, isn't it? Man, oh man, this seemed like yesterday we started a new year and we're almost ready to start another one. I don't know whether as you get older, if they get years get faster. And I got a lot of people shaking their heads. I think it seems that way anyway, whether it is or not. I want to conclude the series I started a couple, 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is part three of It Shall Come to Pass. And you know, we're looking at the life of Joseph and how he dealt with situations. If any man went through difficulties, that man did, right? But he came out on top and was successful. We dealt with the others. Today we wanted to, the reason he became successful is because he walked in the favor of God. You know, in one sense of the word, we could say Joseph could be a type of Christ because he rescued his family. On another situation, we could say he is a type of the believer. You know, this is not theologically correct, but it's my assumptions on some things. He's the type of a believer who learned to walk with God no matter what was happening. No matter what the situation, his faith was in God. You know, when we have the favor of God upon our life, we can walk in victory. You know, Oswald Chambers said, "Grace is the overflowing favor of God, and you can always count on it being available to draw upon as needed." You know, we have the favor of God when we need it to help us in every area of our lives. Having God's favor doesn't mean we're not going to have some difficulties. Some people think that you start having faith walk, you start having favor with God, and there's no more difficulties. Probably there will be more difficulties. Because the enemy wants to keep you from enjoying any of the blessings. Having favor does mean that with God, he will show his favor upon us and will get us through every situation that comes our direction. Look at what the Psalms say in Psalms 5:12, reading it from the New King James today. And then I'm going to also do the last clause from the NLT and also from the Amplified Classic Version. Psalms 5:12 in the New King James says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." The NLT says, "You surround them with your shield of love." The Amplified Classic says, "As with a shield, you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor." Now, these three different translations here show us that favor, love, protection, goodwill all work together. You know, as we're looking at this, it says shield. What is a shield? Protection. Right? It's protection. So, this shows us that God wants to surround us or shield us with favor, love, protection, and goodwill. You know, these verses can also describe Job's life. He had favor with God everywhere he went in every situation he was in. Now, Some people might say, well, how can he have favor with God? Look at all this, look at all the stuff he went into, got into. But even in the times of trouble, Joseph walked in favor with God. Some have the idea that God seems to favor others more than he does them, which is not true. But really, what helped Joseph to continue to walk in the favor of God? Well, one of the things is because he kept his attitude right. He kept the right set of attitudes toward God and man. You know, having the wrong attitude can get you out of the blessings of God, out of the favor of God. You know, some people are always, they got an attitude negative. They got the negativest attitude you ever seen in the world. Anytime you see them, they're negative. And they think everybody is against them. Anybody ever seen somebody like that? Yeah. You know, they're insecure, they're full of fear, and they have no confidence whatsoever in anything. And then some people are just greedy. And they run over everybody to get their share and more too. And some people have an attitude, we call it a persecuted complex, persecution complex, where they are sure that everybody is out to get them. Anybody ever seen somebody like that? You know, and there, people with the wrong sets of attitude will never experience the full blessings and favor of God until they change. You know, God wants us to have favor in every area that we're involved in. He wants us to have favor in our relationships with one another and with Him. He wants us to have favor in our business dealings. He wants us to have favor in all of our financial situations. He wants us to have favor in the workplace. He wants us to have favor with our families. We need to expect the favor of God upon our lives. Remember, I did a series a year or so ago now, I don't know, called Expect. How many of you remember that? Oh, I can do it again because only about 50 people raised their hand. So I can preach that again. That'll save me some time. It's all in a book back there called Expect. Have you ever run into some people that they don't expect anything? Just whatever happens, happens. They have no expectations whatsoever. Every day I get up, I expect the blessings of God to be upon me. Every day I get up, I expect to have favor because God said I could have favor. Not only with Him, but with man. See, we need to expect it. Expect God to move in our behalf. Expect God to speak to others to show favor upon us. Did you know God can cause somebody that's not even, maybe not doing what's right, to have favor upon you? We see it in the Word of God all the time. Okay? Here, with the favor of God, Joseph overcome every situation. Now, he walked in love and favor with God in the difficult times. First of all, he had favor with his father, and it caused him a problem. In Genesis 37:3, it says, "Now Israel," which was Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. Loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Also as the son of his Rachel. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, we would understand that word better by just saying coat or cloak. And this is very significant in the fact that if you study some of the some scholars say it has been supposed that that was Jacob's way of conferring the distinction upon Joseph to mark him as the heir of the birthright that was forfeited by Reuben. Now, by doing this, making this cloak or coat for Joseph, it actually caused his brothers to be more jealous of him than they were. And Genesis 37:4 said, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So now they all devise a plan to get rid of this. We're going to get rid of Joseph. So they sold him to the Midianites and took that special coat and ripped it up and put blood on it and stuff. And then they told the father that Joseph was dead. Now, then he got to Egypt with the Midianites and they sold him into slavery. And we see these situations that he was in. There, when he was sold into slavery, he found favor with Potiphar, who was an Egyptian officer. And it says in Genesis 39:2-4, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him the overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Now here, Joseph is sold into slavery, but now he is given a high-ranking position in his master's house. He's been put in charge of everything. And even though he was a slave, I want you to notice it said that everything he did, or we might say put his hand to, prospered. Now that shows us something right there. I want to stop for a minute and let you. Just because you're in a bad situation doesn't mean that God can't cause you to prosper. Right here, Joseph, that wasn't a very good situation, but he prospered. Okay? Now, when Joseph refused the advances of Potiphar's wife, she accused him of rape, and Potiphar threw him in the prison. But now, in prison, I want you to see favor here again. It says in Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. As he walks through these situations, want you to notice the favor of God is with him. What was the favor of God? Love, protection, goodwill. Come on now. Here we are. You know, he was in a difficult situation. His circumstances weren't that good. I'm sure that prison didn't have any air conditioning. I'm sure it didn't have memory foam mattress. I'm sure he didn't have a Sleep Number mattress either. Come on now. I don't think it was a very nice place. It was a dungeon. And it says that he had, that he was bound with some fetters. Man, the conditions couldn't have been very much worse. But he found favor and was put in charge of the whole prison, underneath the warden, we might say. Now, he interprets some dreams of some of the other prisoners. Finally, one of them told Pharaoh, because Pharaoh couldn't get his dream. All of the guys, they couldn't interpret his dream. And he told Pharaoh about Joseph. Now, Pharaoh brings him to the palace. Here, let's go read it in Genesis 41, 38 through 44. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, and there is no one as discerning and wise as you, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." And then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in the garments of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bowed the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man will lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Now here, he's come from the pit where his brothers was watching the sheep, through the prison, all the way up. Now he is second in command in the whole nation of Egypt. You know, he had the signet ring. And that ring, if you stamped it, it's like a notary public ring. That's it. It's done. And that signet ring showed that he had the power under Pharaoh to do what he was doing. He had the power and the authority. Okay? He put this gold necklace around him. Now that's important because it showed his official position. You see, we don't pay much attention sometimes to these things in the Word, but they're very significant because that gold chain represented something. Just like a badge on the policeman or the highway patrolman or the sheriff, that badge has significance. That gold chain had significance. It said, I am under the authority, and I am part of the ruling body of all of Egypt. It had the clothes, they had significance because they were a certain type of clothes. See, any of you, I know if you're in the medical field or a fireman or a policeman or whatever, how many of you wear a certain kind of uniform when you go to work? Anybody? Yeah. It has significance. It denotes who you are. If you're in a hospital, I guess it's still this way, I don't know. But used to, if the doctor had on a long coat, he was a full-fledged doctor. If it was short, he was in his, what we would call his intern. Is it still that way? I heard somebody say they thought, I don't know. But you see, it had significance. The type of garment he had on had significance. Come on. You know, sometimes in driving race cars, if a guy is a rookie, They will put a mark or a ribbon on the car to mark this guy. That it has significance. Hey, watch out. This guy don't know what he's doing. That's really what it says. As the, of course, you know, Cameron, my grandson, he drives race cars. He calls them squirrels because you don't ever know where they're going to jump next. Significance. The royal clothes had significance. The gold necklace had significance. And then being assigned the second chariot. That means if they were in any kind of procession or anything else, that Joseph was right behind Pharaoh. That's significant. That's saying, hey, he is second in command underneath me. You see, that all these things are significant. But they all came about because he had favor. Now I want you to notice these are natural things, but God gave him favor so that he could advance. We need to realize God will give us favor so we can advance. Not only, some people always want to put everything spiritual, and thank God for the spiritual side, and that's important, but we got to realize that God wants us to prosper in the natural, and his favor will rest upon us to do that. But we got to keep our attitudes right. We can't get upset if somebody gets a promotion ahead of us. Keep our attitudes right. Let the favor of God work, and you'll jump ahead of that guy somewhere down the road. But you get the wrong attitude. Well, I'm going to get even with him. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to help him. I'm not going to help him to succeed, so they'll realize he's no good. That's the wrong attitude. You know how you won't find favor doing that. Come on now. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at these difficult situations. He was 17 years old or thereabouts whenever he was sold to the Midianites. It wasn't until he was 30 that he became second in command in Egypt. That's a long period of time to go through a bunch of stuff. But he kept his attitude right. He kept believing in God. He kept believing the dreams that God had given him. And he eventually walked out on top. You can't let negative situations determine where you're going to end up. If you walk in God's favor, you'll walk through it. The Bible does not say that we will not have any problems. In fact, there in John, Jesus said, in this world you will have trials, tribulations. I'm going to paraphrase it, 2020 language. But I take heart, I have overcome the world. God wants us to have favor spiritually and naturally. He's concerned about every area of our life. Physical, financial, social, spiritual, every area, family. In the midst, let me say it again. I said it a while ago, I'm going to say it again. In the midst of every negative situation, expect God's favor. If we keep expecting God's favor and believing and keep our attitudes right, God will turn it around. Remember, I did that sermon, God is a turnaround specialist. And it's in that little book, Master Restore. See, David had a few little situations in his life. And I see some of you sort of smiling and laughing. David had more than a few situations. I think he lived from one to the other one. But in Psalms 31:15, he said, "My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine upon your servant. In your unfailing love, rescue me." Excuse me just a minute here. Got to clear my throat. Hey, don't sit around and wait for your situation to be favorable before you start expecting favor. Start expecting the favor of God in the middle of your situation. Start expecting the favor of God to come in and rescue you. Start expecting the favor of God to make a way of escape when it doesn't look like there's any way out. You know, you got to believe that you're living at the right time in God's favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I don't know about you, but I'm living in God's favor." Now, the reason I said that, because you can't control what your spouse does, what your brother does, what anybody else does. You got to control your living in the favor. Hello. Too many people trying to get, Lord help them to live in favor. No, they have to live in the favor of their self. Okay? And we all know this scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:2, but I want to read it in the NLT and the NIV. "For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." The NIV says it like this: "For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, it is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Favor. The Greek word for salvation here is an inclusive meaning word. It means healing, protection, provision, wholeness. So many times we read that, we think of salvation as, you know, being born again. But that actually, we have to realize that in the Greek, many of these words have several different connotations depending on how they are used. Don't we have a few words like that in the English language, depending on how they are used and the context they're used in changes their meaning? Is that not correct? Huh? Well, I got a few people that remember English. I remember a little bit of it, not a whole bunch, because that wasn't a good subject for me. And you can tell by the way I talk, but I've gotten several letters. I haven't gotten one in a long time now, but I got a letter from a person one time that said they were an English teacher and that they wished that I would learn how to speak correctly. I just filed that in file 13. That's at the end of the desk as it falls off into a bucket. I think it's called a trash can. Here, we're living in God's favor. And all of these are available to us as we live with God. You see, The favor of God, sometimes people think, well, how can I get and be in the favor of God? Well, how do you be in the favor of anybody? Simply by being around, being there, being faithful, being helpful. See, we need to realize that when we're going through a situation that looks like we can't survive, looks like it's the end, that the favor of God is there. And if we'll expect it, he will move in our behalf. You have to believe that the favor of God is with you wherever you're at. See, favor. Favor opens the doors in many areas of our lives. You have to do the same thing with favor that you do everything else. You got to keep declaring. We declare that we are the righteous of God in Christ, right? Well, we need to declare that we have the favor of God in our life and expect it. Too many times people mouth words, but they don't ever expect anything to happen. I expect that whatever God said in this word right there, the word of God, I expect it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't wonder if it's going to happen. I expect it to happen. How many of you got a car in the parking lot? Now, how many of you right now, when you go out there and get in that car, you expect it to start? Right? Then when you get up every morning, expect what God said, just like you expect your car to run. I walked out in the garage, got in my car to come to church. I expected it to run, never gave it a second thought. That's the way we have to get with the things of God, is to expect it to happen without even thinking about it. Come on. Now, once we have been shown favor, it's important that we show favor back to somebody else. Give favor to others. Let's go to Genesis 50, 17. I'm going to read from the NLT. So we, the servants of God, of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Uh-oh. That goes back to the dream, doesn't it? Doesn't that go back to the dream where they bowed? Now, where they're out in the field and their bundles bowed down to his bundle? Okay. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I'll continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. There is no greater story of forgiveness in the Word of God, except Christ dying on the cross for us to forgive our sins. There is no greater story in the Word of God than Joseph forgiving his brothers. Now, let me tell you something. That man was second in command in Egypt. He could have done whatever he wanted to them, and nobody would have said anything. Nobody would have raised their hand against him. He could have told them, yeah, hey, you throw me in a pit, you sold me into slavery, let me show what it's like, boys. Come on. Come on now. If it would have been some people, that would have been their attitude. But through all the years, he never had the attitude of, one day I'll get even. He didn't have the attitude, and I don't know where this comes from, but I've heard it all my life. 81 years I've heard it. Every dog has its day. Anybody ever heard that? That's the kind of attitude. Hey, I'll get you. Somewhere, sometime, I'll get you. He could have had that attitude. I'll take you boys down. Y'all just wait. My day will come. But no, he showed favor to his brothers. Even though they treated him wrong, even though he went through misery and situations that were not very good, he showed them kindness, favor. This is a picture of what we should do when others have wronged us. Show them favor. God freely forgive us, right? So we should freely forgive others. A lot of people wonder why their face not working. I know you read Mark 11:23 and 24. Drop down and read Mark 11:25. You'll find out why your faith ain't working. You're not showing favor and forgiveness to anybody else. Go read the parable that Jesus gave about the master that forgave this guy of a huge, huge debt. And yet one of his, a guy that owed him very little, he threw him in prison. And then when the master heard about it, that's the guy got out of prison, and the guy that put him in got put in. Okay? See, if we want the fullness of God, its blessings, and the favor of God upon our lives, we must show favor to others. In the midst of every difficult situation that you can think of, you can have favor, just like Joseph did in his life. You know, I believe that God is saying to us this morning, this is our hour of favor. I believe he's saying, I will extend my hand to help those who will look to me. In this hour, you can expect me to do what I promised in my word and rescue you out of your troubles. That's just a few things I felt like the Spirit was saying, and I wrote them down. So what's the action plan? What's the plan we need for the favor of God in our lives? Keep a positive attitude. Believe the promises of God about having favor. Maintain a good confession of the favor of God is working in your life. I trust you received something from this today. But we all can learn from the life of Joseph. It's a beautiful story of how God rewarded someone, even in the midst of their situations that he went through, because he continued to believe God. He kept a good attitude, and he showed favor Everybody stand, please. Say this with me. God has promised me favor in the Word. I have favor with every person I meet. I am highly favored by God in everything I do. I have favor at home and with my family. I have favor at work with my bosses and co-workers. I have favor in school with my teachers and fellow students. I have favor with God in everything. In everything I do. I have favor because God said I did. In everything, in every situation, in every trouble, in every trial, I have favor. I will win because God says so. Now lift your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I trust you got something from this today. Y'all got something you want to sing, Dan?
In all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will see of the goodness of God. Come on, declare it. 'Cause all my life, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good, yeah. With every breath that I am able, and I will see the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. That song singing, that's about the favor of God. All of that is about the favor of God upon our lives. Bow your heads for just a moment with me. I never like to have preach a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, or for somebody to rededicate their life to God. You know, many times people accept Christ, but then they sort of walk away and they need to come back and have a refreshing. If that's you in this room, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand anywhere in the room. If you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life to God so you can have the favor of God upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I don't see any hands. Let's all raise our hands and thank God, because we are born again. We are part of the family of God, and we have God's favor upon our lives and everything that we do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Well, if you only heard one of these sessions, there's two other sessions to this series. It shall come to pass. They're out there in the bookstore if you want to get them, or I guess you could go on rhema.org and listen to them there if you want to. Okay, praise the Lord. Hey, how many of you got one of these? Let me see it. Hold it up. I want to see it. Not enough of you have it. Get one and read it, or else go online and read it. It's got lots of stuff in it that Craig did not have time to mention, but we really do need your help with the We Care and helping to provide people with food. This has been a rough time. And then we are trying to help some families that don't have to have a good Thanksgiving dinner. So there's special needs for that also, okay? The We Care Center, let me say this. is not just for people outside. Actually, I started the We Care Center, I think in about 90, I think it was, somewhere in there. Anywhere when we had the oil crisis and everything went under and people were losing their jobs. And anybody remember that? Well, I started the We Care Center, maybe it had been the latter part of the 80s, I guess, because the Lord told me that, you know, to start it for the people in the church that were having difficulties. I mean, it was engineers, oil engineers, and different ones that they had lost their job. And one man I know, he tried to go to McDonald's. They were hiring, and they wouldn't hire him because they said he was overqualified. He said, "I don't care if I'm overqualified or not. I got to have some money for my family. I can fry hamburgers. I can fry fries." And that's the kind of situation. That's when the Lord told me to start the We Care Center. So if you are in the church and you're having difficulty, hey, go right over to the church office and we want to help you too. Now, it's not a welfare deal. It's just to help you get by until you get, you know, it's just a get by, I guess you might call it. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be right here. Oh, don't forget the Toys for Tots. We'd like to try to help some of these families that don't have a lot. And Toys for Tots is a great project. And it's put on by the Marines, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, the Marines put that on. And it's a great project. And since we couldn't have the angel tree because of everything that's going on, we wanted to be able to do something. So, hey, get involved with that, okay? All right, we'll see you tonight. Don't forget all the announcements. God bless.